All right, welcome back to Ask the Pastor, and I'm sure somebody got a glass of water to take and just calm down a bit and got some time to meditate on all that you've heard so far. We're still going back to that question, and my name is Brother Godson Uba, and still with us is Pastor Moses Alu. All right, so back to the question. Question C says, the Gentiles are a grafted branch, so benefits the same nutrients as the original branch. I think, sir, the dreadful day of the Lord ends with the Jews, so the Gentiles benefit the ministry of restoration of God agenda that end with the Jews. Throw more light, sir. And shalom, Brother Dimain from Cameroon, pastor of Tikor Bride Tabernacle.
That one, I want to shed light on again. The dreadful day of the Lord ends
with the Jews.
The dreadful day of the Lord ends with the Jews. No. Before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, it ends with the coming of Christ with the bride to take over this earth for the millennial reign. That is when the dreadful day of the Lord ends. So I don't
know. That answers that question.
I think that answers the question.
All right, God bless you, Brother Damien from Cameroon. God bless you for sending in your question and the follow-up. It's really been interesting.
And if it ends with the Jews, then when does it start?
That, yes.
It starts in Matthew chapter 24.
Matthew 24.
Now, it's correct? Yes. Now, this is where it begins, from verse 29.
Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened.
So immediately after the last 3.5 years, completion of the 7 years period given, immediately after the tribulation of the days, that is the day of the Lord. The sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give a light, and the sun shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and all this is the effect of the vile angels and the seven trumpet angels. God bless. And it ends with the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. All right, God bless you, brother.
Because it also states there.
Okay.
Verse 30.
Verse 30. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven.
That is where it ends. It ends with the coming. I just wanted to give you the scriptural answer.
All right. And this says, shalom, Pastor Moses. Thank you for your insight. How do we interpret Romans chapter 16, verse 1 to 2, which says, Phoebe was a deacon in Paul's time. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Cheshire. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people, and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been the benefactor of many people, including me.
Can you see? She has been the benefactor of many people. Including me. She was of service, helping out in the church among brethren. So she was a helper. She was, and you could help in any way, in so many ways. Even in the churches today, we have sisters who always clean the church. We have sisters who wash our baptismal dress. They are workers, but they are not ordained into the office of a deacon. That office is for men. According to from verse 8 of 1 Timothy chapter 3, the condition is given there. One of it is there must be a husband of one wife, not wife of one husband. It's very clear. And among the seven men that were choosing in Acts chapter 6, to be the deacons, woman was not chosen because of an office of authority in the church. So the word deacon there just shows it was a church worker, nothing more.
All right, God bless you, Brother Jonathan. Thank you for your question. We have another question that's coming, and that says, shalom, sir. I am Pastor Favor from Uromi, Edo State, Nigeria. So I want to know, can a sister be a member of the Board of Trustees of the church?
There is no scripture for qualification of Board of Trustees. Board of Trustees is a government requirement, not a scriptural requirement. And so, as it suits your ministry, they are the ones that will be held responsible for whatever goes on there. They are the ones that are keeping this non-governmental organization as it is registered, not-for-profit organization as it is registered, on behalf of the government. So they are responsible to the government for activities that go on there. And it is strictly a legal requirement. So you have to choose people that are responsible enough that can stand and talk, you know, for the ministry and keep the assets and, of course, the liabilities of the ministry and be ready to hand over the ministry to the government as the law requires, should the ministry fold up, wind up, and always they represent the church. So if anything happens, like you saw when there was a collapse, building collapse in synagogue some years back, the government charged the board of trustees because they are the ones that are held responsible for what goes on there by the government. But scripturally, for ministry purpose, woman is not among the leadership. And so my advice is, if a woman will not be a leader in the church, then why will a woman then, I mean, where there are men, why will a woman then be representing the whole church, you know, somewhere, speaking for the church? Where are the men? You know, it is strictly a men affair by implication. God bless you.
All right, God bless you. So we have more questions. All right, this is another question. And say, Shalom, the bride, to the bride of Christ worldwide. God bless you for always feeding us with the spiritual food. I'm Evangelist Charity in Bamenda, Cameroon. What is your teaching about Christmas celebration? The father of Christmas, called Santa Claus or Satan Lucas, Old Nick. Should we celebrate or not? By you, is Santa Claus a biblical favorable apparition or deception, according to Galatians chapter 4, verse 9 to 11, and Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 to 23? Thank you.
Maybe I preach a message, and I'm sure maybe for your sake, immediately this broadcast is over, we shall play broadcast that teaching I had a few years back on letting you, the Church of Jesus Christ worldwide, to know that Christ was not born on the 25th of December. Secondly, 25th December is not a Christian celebration. It's been going on long, according to history, before even Christianity came into being. Also, I want you to note that there is nothing Christian in that celebration, as evidently seen by those who celebrate it. Unbelievers even celebrate it more than the Christians. And I proved scripturally that, well, even before the proving, I want you to also note that I've stressed that Christmas is a product of the marriage of the Christian faith with idolatry. And this, that marriage of convenience that produced what you are seeing today in many of the denominational system, particularly spearheaded by the Roman Church. So, and I proved also scripturally that Christ was born between September and October, using the scripture. It has nothing to do with December. And I know that followers of Mr. William Branham, who will just take a statement, you know, made by William Branham, even if it's not a doctrinal teaching, and he just says it, they just take it. Oh, William Branham said lambs are born in April, therefore Christ was born in April. December, because during the winter they don't come out and things like that, and then begin to prove. The problem I have with these people is that you are showing them scripture, they will never see it. That's the problem. There's one of them there in Abuja that, you know, has been attacking me over it. Do you know more than the prophet and things like that? It's not me knowing. It's scripture. Mm. The scripture is above William Branham. Mm. The scripture is above any man. And so when I show you scripture, then it's not, I'm not trying to, in fact, comparing William Branham's statement with the scripture is sacrilegious. Mm. You know, it's idolatry. It's that's where you get the confusion. Some of you make the statements of William Branham, and just like the denominations, by your Pope, by your Archbishop, your GO, you take it above the Bible. That's the problem you have. So I prove it in the scripture. But it's a holiday, and I want the Bride of Christ worldwide to know my stand. Although it is hidden worship, hidden celebration, with a Christian connotation, coloration. We don't just throw it away. Since they're talking about the birth of Christ, they're letting the whole world know a Savior was born, a Savior came to this world. We take advantage of it and evangelize to the unbeliever. But when we come home, we tell ourselves, hey, don't, nothing like that. It's not a Christian.
Yes.
It's not a Christian celebration. So please, my sister, I think sister evangelist.
No, it's a brother evangelist.
Charity.
Yes.
It's a charity.
Sister. Yeah, maybe be a sister. Sister.
Just be patient. Immediately after the broadcast of this program, we will make a rebroadcast of my teaching of when was Christ born. God bless you.
All right, God bless you. We'll take a call from Zoom, and we're getting a call from Zoom, and that should be Brother James. So if we have Brother James on the screen right now, it would be wonderful to have him right now, so we can get those questions. Oh, Brother James, God bless you, and shalom.
Shalom, shalom, sir. Shalom, sir. Mogri, sir.
God bless you, sir.
Shalom, Brother Gossip.
Shalom, God bless you. Yes, sir. Please go on with your question, sir.
We bless the name of the Lord. We thank God, sir, for your life. We are, in fact, sir, we, the last episode of Rapture Watch, sir, it was a blessing to the Bride of Christ.
Amen.
We bless the name of the Lord.
Amen.
We give God a glory for the revelation of His word.
Amen.
May the name of the Lord be praised and blessed forever.
Amen.
Sir, please, I have a little question that I want to ask. And I know you talk about... You talk about the three sons of Noah.
Yes.
Ham and Japheth.
Yes.
But sir, my question is this: before the rapture watch, the Lord has been putting it in my heart concerning the curse that Noah lay on Cana. So when I begin to study the scripture there, I saw that God took me to, you know, the Lord took me again from that same part again, because I tried to connect it by the mercy of God. I see that the curse that he lay on Cana, he says, a servant of servant shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Cana shall be his servant. And God shall, verse 27 of, I'm reading Genesis, sir. Genesis chapter 9. So verse 27 he said, God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tent of Shem, and Cana shall be his servant. But sir, you know, when I was reading this, when I was studying on this scripture, the Lord was ministering to me about this course, because I now discovered that in the book of Matthew chapter 20, Matthew chapter 20, sir, verse 27, the Lord Jesus Christ make another reference there, which it is very important.
Recording
and I try
progress.
To digest it, but sir, I need you to throw more light to it so that I can digest it properly.
Matthew what?
20.
Matthew chapter 20, verse 27.
Matthew 20, verse 27, it says, and whosoever will be chief among you,
yes,
let him be your servant. Yes?
Yeah. So Matthew chapter 20 verse 27, he said, whosoever shall be chief among you, let him be your servant. So he said, whosoever shall be chief among you, let him be your servant. But sir, I was not, it was not much clear to me. And I discovered that Mark chapter 9, make it more clearer. Mark chapter 9 verse 35.
Mark chapter 9 verse 35. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, sir. Sir, please, I want you to balance it. I want you to throw more light to it, to balance it to me, to throw more light so that I can be able to connect the course that Noah laid on Cana. And here now in the Mark chapter 9, verse 35, Jesus Christ is still making that same statement. He's still making that statement. He said, and he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. So I want you to help me to throw more light to you and connect the scripture to me, sir.
First and foremost, there's nothing to be confused here. Christ is teaching us how to be humble.
That, yes, sir.
Yeah, that we should. When he says serve there, it's not about slavery. Now, it's not about slavery. It's not being enslaved to someone. It is about you tending to don't sit to be served, but you rather, you know, he said, the Son of Man did not come to be ministered to, but he came to minister to others. Yeah. So that is what, if you notice in John chapter 13, where he said in verse 13.
John 13 verse 13.
Yes.
Ye call me master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am.
You call me master, you call me Lord, and you are correct, because this is who I am. But here am I, your master, I'm washing your leg. Verse 14.
Yes. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet.
Can you see? You see how you can descend to wash other people's feet? What did he say?
Ye also ought to wash one another's feet.
Okay, so he's talking about, remember that the Bible also says you should humble yourself under the mighty hands of God and he will exalt you. Mm. And then he was teaching again about humility in another scripture where he said, when you go to the feast, he said, don't go and sit in big, in the high table.
Mm-hmm.
Go and sit somewhere and allow the owner of the feast, the host, to come and bring you up, even if you may be sitting in a position that does not belong to you. That is teaching of humility.
Yes, allow,
and humility, and the way to greatness is the lowness of spirit, humility. That's all he's teaching here. But when you look at the course on Cana, the generation of Ham are the Canaanites. The generation of Ham are the Canaanites. And it is the effect of that curse that God gave their land to the Shemites and drove them away, and then they took over that the land. It's part of the curse.
Yeah, God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
So again, I still have another question, sir. I think this number is in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts chapter 3, it says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proof.
Yes.
So by many infallible proof here, sir, I want you to, like, what are the proof that is what are the proof here, the infallible proof? What does it mean?
In John 21, John 21, his disciples saw him. In another scripture again, they saw him, and Thomas, when they told Thomas, he showed the hand to Thomas to prove. Thomas said, if I don't see, I will not know, I will not believe you are the one. On his way to Emmaus, after their eyes were open, they knew he was the one. So you cannot doubt it. The disciples saw him with evidence, with testimony, they saw him. That is the infallible proofs.
Yeah.
And not okay, just because, that. Because and not
even,
just
like,
that.
Like, even,
and not just that. Another proof.
In one of the scriptures, I think it's
another proof
that he ate with them.
That is.
And he asked them. He equally asked them to touch me and see. He said, come and touch me. So the spirit.
That's part of the proof. Spirit. So that so, is part of the proof. And also,
my question is, go further because I understand this point now. My question, go further. That means in a millennium. We are going to be, we are not going to be like a spirit or how?
In the millennium, the question again.
Are we going to be like spirit? Are we going to be like Christ?
Can I hear your question again?
Yes, sir, in the millennium, because in one of the scripture, I think in the book of John there, when he said, you can touch me, you can feel me, you can touch me and see. I am not a spirit. For a spirit, you cannot touch a spirit. Come and touch me.
Yes.
And he equally ate with them. He eats food with them. And my question is this. In a millennium, that means we are not going to be like spirits. We are going to be just the way he is now.
Of course. The Bible even tell us, as he is, so shall we be. The Bible says so. We'll be the way we are. Now, the way I'm seeing you are seeing me, just like angels, only that our bodies will be angelic bodies. Amen. So we know ourselves. We will know who we are. I will see you, and I will know you. I will know you, James. This is you. That's why I like people to talk on Zoom. Let me see you. Although, I visited you in Greece, so I can't miss you in the millennium. When we get to heaven, I will see you in the
rapture. Amen. Amen. And so again, I want to ask another question again. I don't know if the time we, you know.
Go ahead.
So, like, when I begin to read the book,
it's not only you, I will see you. I will also see Antonia.
Yeah, the book of John chapter 1. So the analysis there in the book of John chapter 1, I love it. And, you know, if someone is... If someone is not this is a scripture that the denomination, so because of the lack of revelation that they have placed our God into three places, even some they are trying to put it in four places, like from verse 4 there.
Which scripture? John
chapter 1. My question is from verse 4.
Yes.
John chapter 1, sir.
Yes.
Yeah. In verse 4 there. Yeah, verse 4, he said, in him was life, mm-hmm. and the life was the light of men. Mm-hmm. So, my question is just the A part, in him was life. But I now see that the life here, in the book of John chapter 10, Jesus said, he said in the book of John chapter 10, he said, the thief cometh not but to kill, to steal and destroy. I have come to give you life. And I equally see that in the book of Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, there was a tree of life there. And in the book of Revelation again, the Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, he said, to the overcomers, I will give to it the tree. I will give to it from the tree of life. So, sir, I'm trying to make, I want to balance it. Because we saw Jesus, and I saw the tree of life. How can I connect it, sir?
A tree is, a tree produces fruit. Correct?
Yes, sir.
When you are hungry, when you eat the fruit, you'll be filled, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
And so if Jesus... is, it's a source of life. Then he is a tree of life. And the only thing that gives life on earth and in heaven is the Word of God. And Christ Jesus is the Word of God. And the Word of God was that tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden. And instead of receiving from God the Word of God, they were receiving from the word of the serpent, which will produce death. So, so Jesus is the word of God because he is a life carrier because he's the word of God. And where the word is, darkness, confusion, anything at all, evil. Darkness is a compound word used for all negativities, including sickness, poverty, frustration. Everything evil is all in that compound word used there as metaphorically as darkness. So in verse 19 of John chapter 3, verse 19
says, and this is a condemnation.
This is the condemnation.
The light is coming to the world.
The light has come into the world.
And men loved darkness than light.
Now, what is this darkness that they love rather than light? Mm. It is good and evil. Okay? Because their deeds were evil. Now, verse 20.
Verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil hated the light.
You see?
Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved.
Verse 21.
For he that doeth truth cometh to the light,
yes,
that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God.
So that defines it all.
Yeah. So you know, I get all this by the grace of God. I get all this, but you know, a little why the confusion. Because when I come to Revelation chapter 22, I saw in Revelation chapter 22 from verse 1 and 2 there, he said, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, a clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God. He said, out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. So that is where I begin to get a little bit, you know.
Remember that all these are symbolically given to us. You don't pick it literally like that. They are all symbolizing the glory that flows for those who will inherit eternal life. And they are depicted symbolically. Amen. There. That is why Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he repeated, he said, eye has not seen. Let us enter into enter the heart of man, what God has prepared. Mm-hmm. You can't even explain what God has prepared. The glory is too much. Mm-hmm. And it is being depicted in all you are seeing, in those symbols. Mm-hmm. Nothing more.
Amen.
God bless you, brother. James.
Thank you very much, sir. More grace, sir.
Yeah, I'm happy Sister Antonia did not ask any question today because she always asks tough questions. Have a nice day. God bless you.
Thank you very much, sir. God bless you, sir. More grace.
All right, God bless you, brother James. God bless you, brother James, and our sister from Greece. God bless you. We're going to call it a day here. We really appreciate everyone that's been with us from the beginning up to now. Even those who joined along the way, we truly appreciate you. And we thank everyone who is supporting the Bright TV, keeping us on air 24/7. You've been a blessing to us, and we are really grateful. Also, we thank everyone who is working behind the scenes to make sure that the programs keep airing. We say God bless you. Without further ado, do remember that all our weekly activities still hold, so ensure that you are part of the service. Tuesday, restoration service, 8 a.m. Friday, 10 p.m. Covenant Vigil. And on Sunday, we gather together to worship the Lord at 9 a.m. Do also know that we still have our streamings on Facebook, Let Us Pray, by 5 p.m. daily. And also at night, yes, we also have the prayer session with Pastor Elvis Smart. Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, midnight. We pray together for an hour. And also the Bible study section still holds it online with Pastor Zoe on Thursday, 9:30. And you can join us on Rapture Watch every Saturday. Very important that you join us on Rapture Watch, 8 p.m. It's a wonderful moment to be blessed by God. If you've been missing, the Bible study with Pastor Olumide every Sunday, please do not miss it. I am certain you need to ask those who've been joining. You're missing a lot. So make sure you are part of the program, and the Lord bless you richly beyond your imagination. As we all say, shalom, shalom, shalom from everyone right here. God bless you till we meet again. Shalom.